verses 4 through 8. Something was going on in Samaria, and Philip was a part of that. Revival begins as Christians were scattered because of persecution. Salvation comes to Samaria, and if you don't know, if you don't remember, Samaria, that was a group of people who were half Jews, half Gentiles, just a group of people who were always looked down upon because they were just, you know, I guess Heinz 57 kind of a type of, you know, city. But what happens was is that there were many miracles and deliverances and healings that were going on. People were being delivered. Those who were possessed were being set free. Those who were paralyzed and lame, I mean, miraculous healings was taking place. Revival was happening there. And you know what, Philip? He's just like you. He's just like me. A believer, but he was a believer who did what believers do. What do believers do? They tell of Jesus. They tell of God's kingdom. They make themselves available to pray over people, to baptize, and to teach the gospel. Now notice that Philip was a part of this, but we all know it wasn't Philip. It wasn't because of his intellect. It was God in him. God was doing something in Philip. And that Philip had a message. And he was willing to go to a place that really a lot of Jewish people didn't like Samaria. I mean, that's why, I mean, the two disciples that were with Jesus, when Jesus was talking to the woman at the well, I mean, she was from Samaria. Jews don't talk to Samaritans. But Philip, he did what believers do. Let me ask you this. What do you do as a believer in Christ? What do you do? We look here at Philip and he's telling people of Jesus because it says he goes down to Samaria and he preached Christ to them. And then it says, and the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip. So he was speaking, hearing and seeing the miracles. So he was doing. For unclean spirits crying with a loud voice, many were possessed, many were paralyzed, and lame were healed. I mean, I'm not sure how many of you, kids included, how many of you want to pray for someone who's sick or who's, you know, possessed, and you want to lay your hand on them knowing that it's God, not you, and you say a prayer and deliverance happens. I'm not sure about you, but I'm wanting that to happen. I'm wanting that to happen through me. But here's the thing. I don't want it to happen to me so that I can say, hey, Michelle, guess what happened to me last week? Yeah. And, you know, and I'm so prideful about what I did. And it's nothing what I did. It's what God did through me. And so this is what Philip is doing. He's doing what believers do. Tell of Jesus. Tell of God's kingdom. Make himself available to pray over people. Because what didn't happen is God didn't force Philip to go and talk to those people. God didn't force Philip to put his hand, you know, Philip was fighting. No, I'm not doing that, God. And God just swung Philip and Philip's hand, you know, was laid upon people. No, he made himself available to place his hands on people. What part of this are we doing? What part of this are you doing? Ask yourself that question. What part of what we just read here are you doing? How is your life similar to those in the early church? I mentioned we've been talking about Paul these last few weeks, especially on Wednesday nights, of what Paul is doing and the letters that he's writing to the Corinthian church. But how is your life similar to those in the early church? Because you know what? The power is still the same. It's the same Spirit of God. It's the same power of God. It's the same desire of God that those who are lost would be found, that those who are lame would begin to walk, those that have no sight would have their sight restored. It's still the same plan. It's still the same power. It's still the same process. Less of me, more of God. God, here I am. Use me if you want to. How diligent will you, let me just mention this, on the calendars for the month of March, there are two times of prayer. Easter's right around the corner. We're having Atlanta School of Ministry come in Atlanta. We're still trying to solidify the actual dates of them doing ministry. But Easter's coming. And so we're having two sets, March 15th, 16th, a time of fasting and prayer and intercession for those that you're ministering to, those that I hope you would want, if they don't go to church, if they don't go to church anywhere, hoping you want them, you know, to be invited to Hidden Treasures. So a time of fasting and prayer for our our city, and intercession for those that you're ministering to, hoping that they come to church on Easter Sunday and then continue to keep coming. That would be shame, right? We just want you to come on Easter. After that, you can just go back and we'll see you back in Christmas. No, we want them to keep coming. And so let me ask this, how diligent will we become in prayer, in intercession, in fasting, so that our city will experience revival? Now, I'm not sure about you, but I really want what's going on in Samaria to happen here in Camden County, to happen in Kingsland, to happen in St. Mary's, to happen in Woodbine and Browntown. I mean, I want what God wants. And he wants people to come to know him, people to be delivered, people to be set free, not just in the city, but I mean, even closely to the people in your family, the people in your neighborhood, the people in your workplace, the people at your school. But see, this something happens. It happens with all of us, okay? Because none of us are perfect here, so this happens. Our tendency is to lose faith in what God can do in us. Our tendency is to lose faith that God can actually do what Philip did in Samaria. Maybe some of you are already just checking out. Now, that can't happen. Why would we do that? Why do we tend to go to that little area of our mind, that little corner space in our mind, that what Philip did in Samaria, that's just not going to happen with me. Why? Why do we go there? Our tendency is to actually begin to lose faith in what God can do. With God, I mean, we know that verse, with God all things are possible, but, you know, with me, I just, no, why do we do that? So there's a problem. Now, I'm not sure what, you know, how you get there. But I know that the fact that it lies, the tendency lies because of what we're focusing on. We lose that focus. The ability to lose faith in our thinking about what God's word says about us and about him, it can happen easily that we tend to just drift into that little corner space and say, no, that can't happen. When we know that we serve a great almighty God who created the suns, the moon, and the stars. I mean, he's allowing us to breathe right now. But yet we come to this conclusion that he can't use us. He can't use you tomorrow at the coffee station or at the or in the cafeteria. He can't use you. Oh, no. God can't, you know, I mean, those students that went to youth convention, the things that you heard, the tendency is going to come maybe tomorrow, as soon as you get on that bus, to lay your hands on all those students on that bus. And then, someone who's sick all of a sudden is healed. No, that's not going to happen. That happens to all of us. But we got to figure out why. Why do we go there? Why do we go to that corner space? Now, I'm just picking that corner space because, you know, as I'm thinking in my mind, there's a space in the corner that I hide to whenever I have to come out of my comfort zone. I go to this hiding place where, you know, I go in the corner and start biting my nails and start freaking out. What are people going to say? And, you know, what if I don't know the right words to say? And what if I mess up? And all of a sudden we go to that little corner space. We allow the flesh to tell us that we can't. Now, I don't know how it happens for you, but I know that it's because of the flesh telling you that you can't. And we lose focus at what God said we can do. So I don't know how it looks for you. If it's because there's a room full of people in your math class or a room full of people in your workplace. I don't know how that works, but somehow your flesh tells you you can't do that when we have a whole book of a bunch of people who are just like us, believers in Jesus Christ. They made themselves available. They believed in what God's word said, and God did miraculous things. You know what we don't have in this word is the day-to-day agenda or tasks in Paul's life. We don't have it. I mean, you know, of course, with Jesus, as the scripture says, we wouldn't be able to have a book, a collection of books large enough to collect all the things that Jesus said and did. So what we have are kind of like highlight points in the lives of these believers in the early church, and we see what God did. But we don't know exactly, you know, for the two whole weeks what Philip did from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. when he went to sleep. We don't know. So maybe there were days, you see, because I think what also happens is that because you pray and you're really praying for something and the answer doesn't come, then we go back to that space the next time and we say, well, it didn't happen last time, so it's not going to happen this time. How many of you have or have had people that prayed for you before you became a Christian? I did. All right. What if those people stopped because after the second week of praying for you, you didn't come to know the Lord, and they just said, well, this stuff's not going to work. They would have came to know the Lord already. They kept praying. They kept trusting. They kept believing that God, the God of the universe, is hearing their prayer, and they're interceding for you to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad that my sister and the people of her church didn't stop praying for me. I'm glad for that. But yet we tend to do that because God didn't do this while we laid our hands and we prayed for somebody or somebody that we knew that we prayed for them. I think it was Michelle that shared that testimony last week of her praying with that neighbor of hers. I mean, I'm glad that the Holy Spirit spoke to her, told her to get back, you know, put that vehicle back in park and get out and go pray for her. Now, I believe that Michelle was just obeying the Lord. But just because it didn't happen in that, you know, split second, the lady fall down and like, whoa, what happened? And then Michelle, I don't know, but I just prayed for you. I mean, just because that didn't happen doesn't mean that Michelle now needs to have this thought in her head or allow this thought in her head to dictate the next time. Oh, it didn't happen that time. So you know what? It's not going to happen this time. Although the flesh will tell you that. The flesh will tell you that. So again, we have this tendency to lose faith in what God's word says about us and what God's word says, what he can do. It's because we allow the flesh to tell us that we can't. You know what? It's true, we can't. But God can through us. God does that. When our thinking is focused and trained to do a particular task or mission, we will not waver from doing what is right or what is correct. As people become masters of whatever it is, whatever, you know, job, they no longer become novices. They no longer become just, you know, the low man on the totem pole. Because as they learn to do things, as they learn to do this job, they learn to do so well, and they come to the place where they are always able to do it correctly. Kind of like a master chef who doesn't hide in the corner of the kitchen wringing his or her hands because they don't know how to cook. Being a master chef, you have had lots of training. You've had lots of opportunities to practice and practice and practice and become focused where the kitchen is in chaos and in madness. And the master chef is able to conduct and tell everybody, sous chef, do this, baker, come do this, don't do this. The master chef of that kitchen is able to orchestrate everything that's going on in that kitchen without wringing his hands. Oh, what am I going to do? Or in fear. And then all of a sudden just say, stop, I don't know what else to do. The master chef wouldn't do that. With lots of training and focus, they're able to orchestrate the madness of that kitchen. Now I'm getting hungry. How many of you ever played that game, Operation? All right. Okay, the Operation. All right. Now, I thought about this, and I asked if anybody had the game, but I guess nobody has it. But consider a doctor who operates on their patient. As they operate, there might be some nervousness at times. You're operating on someone's brain. Some like to play music. Some chew gum. I don't know. But anyway, they have their way of not being so nervous. But they have been trained in so many procedures so many times and have learned to remain focused on the correct steps to take when making those life-saving decisions. Confidence is built within them. Why? Because they've done it so many times. They've trained. They know what a vein looks like and a muscle. They know what all those things look like. Just think of the job that you have from the time that you started to where you're at right now. I mean, Thomas, I mean, he's worked there so many times. People call upon him and he knows some machines that he knows what the problem is. And he would not have been able to do that the second day on the job. Unless it was the plug wasn't plugged in. Oh, yeah, here's the problem. You just plug it in. That's the problem. Oh, yeah, you know, that's how you fix it. Listen, we are not to lose focus in who God is and what we are in him. So we need to train ourselves, know what God's word says, remind ourselves so that when that voice says, no, you can't, be quiet. Yes, I can, because God's in me. And then we start spewing off scripture. We start quoting scripture that I could do all things, like Shannon says, I could do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That it is God who works in me and does his work. It is him that's working in me, not me by myself. Acts chapter 8, verse 9 continues to go on because the revival is not over yet. But there was a certain man called Simon who previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people in Samaria, claiming that he was someone great, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. Now notice, why did they come to that conclusion? Well, it tells us here in verse 9, he who previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people in Samaria. He wasn't just a one-show guy. I mean, he was there for a long time. The things that he was doing in sorcery, many people were astonished at what he was doing. Verse 11, he encountered the real power, so to speak. And it says, and they heeded him because he had astonished them with his sorceries for a long time. But when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus. Notice he wasn't preaching his own. He wasn't telling about himself, but he was preaching the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus. Both men and women were baptized. So now there he goes. Philip's placing himself in the opportunity to get in some water and to get some other people in water and baptize them. So he's making himself available to do what believers need to do. Verse 13, then Simon himself also believed, the sorcerer. He also believed. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip. So now Philip's got this little, little minister in training, on the job training guy. His name's Simon. And he's following Philip and was amazed seeing the miracles and signs which were done. Now, when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. For as yet he, capital H, that's a good verse to know that Holy Spirit's not an it. For as yet he had not fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. I wonder how many of us were one or two steps or one or two questions away from experiencing a miracle this past week. But we listened to that voice. No, you can't. No, you don't know what to say. And then fear came in. And then all of a sudden doubt came in. And then all of a sudden your focus on what God's word says was no longer clear. Now what was clear was you can't because you've done it before and nothing happened. A couple weeks ago when I preached about the preaching restoration of sight to the blind, it was difficult for me. But I had come to the conclusion during that week, God, what I'm going to preach is what you want me to preach. And I'm believing that when people come and I lay my hands on them, you are going to receive, people are going to receive sight. People are going to receive sight spiritually and physically. Now, I was really, really hoping and praying and believing because I was telling God, this is not my work, God, it's your work. When I laid my hands and I didn't see anybody go, oh, I can see now. I don't need, gave me their glasses. Nobody gave me their glasses. Nobody came back and said, I can see now. 20/20 vision. None of that happened. So now should I no longer preach on healing because it didn't happen then? We do that. We do that. That when the opportunity arises, again, maybe we were one or two questions or steps away from a miracle, that we came in contact with someone who was telling us that they were sick. And we didn't say, hey, can I pray for you? And lay our hands upon them and agree in the prayer of faith and pray over them. We didn't do that. Well, because we already started thinking in our heads, well, that's not going to happen. They're going to think I'm weird. And then we talk ourselves out of that. We need to learn and understand why that happens and defeat that problem so it doesn't happen again. So maybe we got to, maybe we have to plaster our walls or plaster our cars with sticky notes with scripture to remind us. And again, we need to train ourselves as a master chef trains, as a doctor, a surgeon trains, so that when they go to this certain to this table to operate on someone, they're not in nervousness, wringing their hands. I don't know what to do, but there's confidence as they start operating on that person. There's confidence because they know what to do. There's no doubt in their mind, oh, I can go ahead and get this tumor. Oh, I can go ahead and do this or that. I can do this. There's that confidence within them. And here, Simon, he's encountered by the real power and he surrenders his life and he gets baptized. And Philip is still making himself available. Again, he is just a believer doing what believers do. Preach the gospel, share Jesus, and make himself available to lay his hand upon the sick, to lay his hand upon the possessed, to lay his hands upon those that want to be baptized because they're now believers in Jesus Christ. How many of us have talked ourselves out of walking in the Spirit because of our schedule and our time, because we're too tired, or because we just can't? I can't do that, Pastor. That's just above my pay grade. We all, if we're all believers, we all have the Spirit of God living inside of us. And if we will just place ourselves in that opportunity to do what God is leading us to do, we leave that other stuff into God's hands. Because I can't pray hard enough and squeeze my eyes shut hard enough so that someone can get baptized in the Holy Spirit or begin to see sight. That's not going to happen. We can sing songs about who God is and what he has done for us. But when it comes to stepping out, we stop. We shouldn't do that to ourselves, and especially to those who need to hear Jesus, to those who need to experience Jesus. But we need to find out. I mean, this is a problem. And if you see it's more of a problem in you, man, grab a couple of people with you and say, pray with me after the service. Hey, pray with me. I really want to be able to be bold in my faith that if someone at work tells me that they're having problems with their children, I will have the boldness to say, what's your son or daughter's name? Mike? Okay, you know what? If you don't mind, can we pray for Mike right now? And if that freaks them out, then say, you know what? I'm going to be praying for Mike this week. And then remember to ask them next week about Mike. How's the issues going on with Mike? Because I'm really praying for him. We should not allow ourselves to just go into that corner space because we've listened to what the flesh says. Is it okay? Is it okay that we can confidently accomplish your day-to-day activities? They're different. Everyone's day-to-day activities are different here. But is it okay that we can confidently accomplish our day-to-day activities or jobs with no worry of failure? Look, I can clean my house with no worry. It may not be the exact same way Shannon likes for me to clean the house, but I will clean the house my way with no worry of failure within me, with no doubt that I can do it by myself. But then when it comes time, when my faith is pressed, My faith is pressed up against the wall where I have the ability, the opportunity to step out in faith, to step out of my comfort zone. Oh, then I begin to doubt. Oh, then I begin to second guess. Oh, then I begin to allow allow thoughts in my mind to just roll in my mind that it didn't happen last time, Rick. So you know what? It's not going to happen again. And I begin to believe that. I mean, how many of you? Is it just your pastor that has that problem? We need to find out we need to realize that's the problem, and we need to take care of it. It amazes me how farmers, they're able to till those rows are just, I mean, straight. I mean, there's just focus on whatever object is down at the end of the line, and those lines are straight. Whatever task or job you have, if you want to keep that job, you're going to do whatever the job, the job description is, whatever you're told to do, there's going to be confidence and effort and emphasis to do it correctly. But when it comes to sharing our faith, we tend to lose focus, and because we're listening to what our flesh is saying, we doubt and we second guess. Again, the fact that we lose faith in what we can do. And what we can do is with God's ability, God's grace, Acts 8:26, because this is what really happens, and this is an amazing thing, because generations are impacted because of this. We don't have enough time. But when this is the part where Philip meets an Ethiopian person. And this person is a treasurer. And it says the treasurer of queen of Candace, the queen of Ethiopia. And I learned that the word Candace is just like the word Pharaoh. So that's really not her first name. Okay. And then Ethiopia, it's really not precise. We see Ethiopia, the outline, you know, of the country in Africa. But it was a region of called Cush, C-U-S-H. And because that treasurer was already in Jerusalem at a time of a great festival, there was some Jewish background. This person was reading the book of Isaiah. He was hungry. There are people that you may not know that are hungry, just like this Ethiopian eunuch. But yet, if you don't place yourself in the opportunity, and if you allow your flesh to lie to you that you can't, it didn't happen the last time, and you listen to those, you might lose out on an opportunity. Again, Philip is just a believer doing what believers do. Tell of Jesus. Tell of the kingdom of God and make themselves available for whatever God has for them. It goes on saying that the angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem. Hey, you know what, Philip? Just go down Highway 17 and go south. All right. And of course, it says here that that was the desert area. So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship. So he had already come to Jerusalem to worship. She already believed in God. He's got the book of Isaiah and he's reading. He was returning and sitting in his chariot and he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, Shannon said this morning, we need to hear. We need to train our ears to hear the voice of God. The Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you are reading? It's going to take us to ask a question. And sometimes even asking questions out of our comfort zone. You're going to have to train yourself to get out of your comfort zone. Train yourself to ask questions to certain people. You're going to have to do that. And let me tell you, if you're not going to learn to do that, then guess what? And you're going to continue to miss 1, 2, 3, or 4 opportunities of being a part of a miracle, of being a part of sharing the truth to somebody, because you're listening to that voice. You can't. You don't have enough time. Your schedule is tight. You got to go meet somebody for coffee. And so you're not going to stand there or sit there and continue to talk with this person who just might really need Jesus just as much as this Ethiopian eunuch did. And it says in verse 31, and he said, how can I unless someone guides me? Oh, here's your sign. You know, this is a great opportunity, Philip. Don't mess it up. Philip could have said, hey, you know what? There's a lot. Listen, there was revival going on in Samaria. Philip could have said, but you know what? Hey, you know, I'll meet you here next week. There's something great going on in Samaria, and I don't want to miss it. People are getting saved. People are being delivered. But yet he makes himself available. And Philip asked him to come with him and sit with him. And the place in the scripture which he read was this. And I just want to drop down at verse 34. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say of this, of himself or some other man? Philip opened his mouth. We are going to have to train to open our mouths to say what God wants us to say, not what we want us to say, not what we want to say, not what we want us to say, not what we want to say. And so Philip opened his mouth, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now, as they went down the road, listen, we're going to have to learn how to preach Jesus to people. We're going to have to learn how to explain Jesus to people. That means we're going to have to, you know what, maybe not go and watch a movie or maybe not go somewhere. Sit down, open the book and understand how to preach Jesus. Like I said this before, be able to tell your testimony in 3 minutes. Why don't you train to do that? I went ahead and passed a couple weeks ago these little pamphlets of the Romans Road. I'm not sure how many of you have it memorized, but if you don't have scriptures memorized to lead someone to Christ, train yourself to memorize the Romans Road so that when the time comes, you have this opportunity, you'll be able to open your mouth and share with them scripture about how they can find Jesus Christ. Lost my place here. Philip opened his mouth at the beginning of the scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now, as they went down the road, they came to some water. The eunuch said, "See, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Wouldn't that be amazing? Wouldn't that be amazing? I mean, you know, summer's coming. You're at the beach. Someone is, you know, reading this book by Joyce Meyer or somebody else. And they ask you, hey, that's a good book. You start talking to them. Here's the connection. You actually say, "Hey, that's a really great book. I read that." "Oh, you have. I don't understand what she's saying here." Whoa, bingo. An same opportunity that Philip had, you can have too. And it'll be at the beach, not in the desert. And so you are able to share with them and explain to them. And that for them to be able to say, "Hey, you know what? There's water right there. What keeps me from getting baptized?" What an amazing thing to look forward to. But what a tragedy if we all choose not to train ourselves to be ready. Choose not to train to memorize scripture. Choose not to train to hear God's voice. Choose not to train. I mean, you know what? We'll become employees of the month or the day, or we'll get our parking spot right in front of the door because of how hard we worked. But yet when it comes to being able to train ourselves to share the gospel, we don't have the time. We don't have our schedules too packed. There's just so many other things I got to do. Or we're listening to that voice. You can't. Listen, there's a tendency for us to lose out on what God wants us to do, to lose focus. So I finished going with verse 37. Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you can, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Awesome. So he commanded the chariot to stand still. Both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water and he baptized him. Now, when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away. Oh, that was pretty cool. So that the eunuch saw him no more and he went on his way rejoicing. Now, I say that there's historical evidence that in the area of Cush, which is would be a better precise area than just saying Ethiopia, where the Ethiopian eunuch was from, that through historical evidence that generations after that, there were Christians found in that area. And now I don't know. We don't have a genealogy of this Ethiopian eunuch. And did his kids come to know Christ? And did he send his kids as missionaries throughout the rest of Africa? We don't know. But there's evidence that there were Christians after this time in that area of Cush. We already know that there were Jews because Jews were going to Jerusalem. That's why the Ethiopian eunuch was there to begin with. But just think of this, because you've trained, because you are putting effort and emphasizing that in your quiet time or in your spare time, and even not in your spare time, you're going to train yourself to be ready to hear God's voice, ready to speak, ready to ask questions, ready to do what believers do. Share Jesus, share the kingdom of God, and make themselves available to God. "Here I am, use me. There's someone here in this room that needs prayer. God, here I am. Lead them to me or lead me to them. And I will be glad to pray for them and believe in your word." If someone has a King James or the New King James Bible, can I ask you to go to the first page of in your book, the first page of Acts? King James, New King James. If you just stand when you get there. Anybody? Christina, all right, you're at the first page of Acts. Can you read the head tiding, the title, the heading of that sheet of paper on your Bible, the first page of Acts? What's at the top? Where the beginning, yeah, or in the beginning of the chapter one. Okay, is there anything at the heading? I'm looking for a title of the book of Acts. We call it the book of Acts, but in the Bible, the Acts of the Apostles. The Acts of the Apostles. Was it the power of the apostles? It was the Acts of the Apostles. But we all know and believe, hopefully we all agree on this, it is the power of God and it is the power of God's Holy Spirit that was manifested through what? The Acts of who? The apostles. They just made themselves available. It was through their acts. It was them believing what they believe in Jesus Christ, and it was their acts. Our mistake is when our thoughts or beliefs are pressed for action in the moments outside of our comfort zone, that man, oh, we can do this. We can do this because God says, because God's word tells us, and it is his power in us working and flowing through us. That is what we can hold on to. Shannon mentioned about Desmond Doss. A day came when he could have chosen the easiest route. He could have chosen, for the sake of not getting in trouble, leaving his comfort zone, he could have chosen to just pick up a weapon. Listen, the problem was in boot camp, I think even at that time, in boot camp, they don't give live rounds. It's either blanks or no rounds. Yet he still stood his ground with his convictions. He will not grab a weapon, even if it didn't have a round in it. He chose that he will not train with a weapon. I mean, such desire and commitment that we see in the Acts of the Apostles that needs to be evident in us. Because if we are believers, then we need to do what believers do. Share the gospel of Jesus Christ, share the kingdom of God, and make ourselves available. It could happen tomorrow. And the danger is, if you're already talking yourself out of it now, it's not going to happen tomorrow. If you're already talking about the fact that, well, that's just too radical for me, then of course it's not going to happen tomorrow. But when you say certain things like that, you will not find them in this book. You especially will not find them in the book of Acts by the apostles who acted out the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I close with this. We're about to partake of communion, Holy Communion. We profess that Jesus is Lord, our Savior. We agree together that Christ is returning again for his church, for us. We state that with the taking of this bread and juice, we agree the cost that Jesus paid for our sin. Rest assured, tomorrow or later this week or maybe even tonight, you're going to have the opportunity. And I like to call a privilege, because it is a privilege that we are going to have the opportunity to share Jesus. It is a privilege that we're going to have the opportunity to lay our hands upon someone who needs healing, who needs Jesus, who just needs wisdom, who are just down and out and need prayer. It is a privilege of ours to step out according to God's word, to move in spirit. Don't talk yourself out of this ability. It's God's grace. It's God's power. It's God's spirit that is accessible to every believer. And it's funny that we who are believers, who have access to salvation, will say, I don't want the access of laying my hands upon somebody. I don't want that access. I don't want that ability. But yet we have Jesus as our Savior. Robert Murray, a Presbyterian missionary, says, live near to God, and so all things will appear to you little in comparison with eternal realities. Live and draw so close to God that everything else that doesn't have any eternal value is too small and it doesn't matter anyway. Father, I come to you and I pray, Father, Lord, that we are challenged, Lord, tonight by your word to train ourselves. Lord, that we would draw close to you, that we would train our ears for your voice. Lord, that we will train our thoughts with your word, that we will know what you say. We will know who we are in you. We will know what you can do and what you desire to do in us and through us, God, so that in those privileged times, Well, we can lay our hands upon someone. We can share truth with someone. We can share Jesus with someone. We can lay our hands and someone can be delivered and set free. That can happen. That is accessible to every believer. And God, we just need to be available to you. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.